Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, November 30th, or Rosh Chodesh Kislev. This is the Women's Mishnah Shir. We're at the beginning of Maseches Chulin. Okay, Rabotai. We started this Mishnah 2 weeks ago and focused on one single issue, namely the role of the status of one person testifying. And we've seen several positions thus far under what circumstances Rishonim are willing to accept the testimony of one witness and under what circumstances you require two witnesses, and as well as the debate, if we decide that one witness is acceptable under a particular condition, does it have to meet the regular qualification of what constitutes a witness? And as a result, most of you in this room, all of you in this room, with the exception of one, would be disqualified from this particular ne'emanut. Or do we say that no, if it's not ne'emanut, it's not testimony of one, it doesn't have a halach of testimony. It's a new category, and we can accept even those who are halachically disqualified from offering testimony in court. They can, their testimony can be accepted when it comes to Isur and Heter. And the overall headline is Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin. And I will give you just one illustration of how this plays out in halachic minds. Whether Isur and Heter, that which you have to determine, not whether somebody was murdered, not whether somebody owes money, but whether you're allowed to eat this piece of meat. You're not allowed to eat this piece of meat. Can you wear this garment? Can you not wear this garment? Is it halach in testimony, or is a new category of edut will be illustrated beautifully in a machloikis between the ktsois and the nesivim? These are two famous achronim in Choshen Mishpat. And they deal with the following, I would say, unusual case of the Torah. The Torah in Devarim chapter 19 describes what the Torah calls Edim Zomimin. The whole first parak of Masechet Makot deals exclusively with this topic. It deals with the following scenario. I'll give you the classic case. Two witnesses come to Beit Din and say, Reuven killed Shimon this Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in front of Rinat.
I heard that almost happened.
What? Two other witnesses come to Beit Din and say, you two witnesses could not have reported that information, because you were with us at the Giant game in Cleveland, which started at 1 o'clock. He was sitting right next to us in Nosebleed Alley upstairs, the cheapest seats in the house. So the halacha is, and I'm not going to go into why now, we automatically believe the second pair for some strange reason. Most Rishonim say there's no logic to it. It's a gzeiras hakasav. Torah says so, end of discussion. The Ramban tries to provide some logic, halachic framework for it. But everybody else says, that's it. You believe the second pair, even though we have no evidence that the first pair is not telling the truth, and maybe the second pair is making up the story. And whatever they wanted to do to the defendant is done unto them. So if they reported that Reuven killed Shimon, they get executed. These two witnesses get executed based on the testimony of the second pair of witnesses, which the Torah says you automatically believe, and the Edom come Edom Zomimin. That's what the Torah says. If it's a monetary case, and they say that I borrowed $1,000 from you, and now two witnesses say you could not have witnessed the loan because you were with us somewhere else, they have to pay me $1,000 because they wanted that I should be out $1,000 because they claimed I borrowed $1,000 from you. So whatever they intended to do to the defendant is done unto them. Okay?
Any rank of defense?
Who?
The first.
No. And in fact, that's why the Ramban says we believe the second Ekim. You were mechaven to the Ramban, not even knowing it was the Ramban. The Ramban says the reason why everybody else, as I just said, it seems to be two against two. And I'll give you another case where it is two against two, and we throw the whole case out. Case pair number one. Walk into Bet Din and say, Reuven killed Shimon in front of Renat. Second witnesses walk into Bet Din and say, Reuven was with us at the Cleveland game. Not the witnesses. Reuven, the defendant. He couldn't have killed, he was with us. You know what happens in that case? Bet Din throws the case out. They don't know who to believe. That's called contradictory testimony. Ede hakhasha. Bet Din doesn't know who to believe. Unless there are further witnesses to verify, the case gets thrown out. Nobody gets killed. Not the defendant. Not the witnesses. In light of that, why in the case of the first case that I gave you, where they reported that the witnesses automatically believe the second pair? So I said most Rishonim throw in the towel and say it's not logical. But the Ramban says what Rachel said. Namely, when the first pair of witnesses are being accused in Bet Din as having lied because they said they were in front of Renat, and the second witnesses said, no, you were in Cleveland. What do the first witnesses want to do? What do they want to tell Bet Din? Say it, Rachel.
They hate me, that's why.
Yeah, we were in front of Renat. They are fabricating the story. The halacha is you can't testify about yourself. You're always allowed to testify about someone else. But you can never, ever testify about yourself. If I were to walk into Beit Din and say, gentlemen, I just murdered somebody, they'll say, do tshuva. But we can't prosecute you. Because your testimony is never accepted in your defense or to prosecute you. You can never testify about yourself. So when the first pair of witnesses want to turn around and say, using Rachel's words, hey, the second pair hate me, they're fabricating stories, that's testifying about themselves. Bet Din can't listen to it. So who is the only one that Bet Din can ultimately accept for who there is no challenge? The second pair. That's why the Ramban says we believe the second pair.
Can the first pair get someone to testify on their behalf?
Yes, so this can go on a third. Of course, the Gemara says it can go up to 100 different witnesses, and then we'll have to kill. So then we will now kill the second pair because they wanted to do. What did they want to do to the first pair? They wanted to execute the first pair.
And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth.
Yeah, you go on and see who they're arguing about. Yes.
Let's say you stop three pairs. First pair, I saw the guy kill him. Second pair, no, you were at the game. Third pair, they weren't at the game. That's
where were they?
The second pair couldn't have been at that game.
So they become the Adam Zomerman.
Right.
And the first ones are released.
But the first ones believed that the guy murdered the guy.
No. We don't know about that. That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. You mean do we restore the first test?
Right.
Not sure. I have to look that up.
Wouldn't
I don't know.
Discourage witnesses?
No. If we're dealing with an ethical, decent society, why would somebody fabricate a story that you were at a Cleveland Browns game? Oh, were you the one wearing the paper bag over your head? Was that you? Because they're 0-12, the Browns. So a lot of fans are wearing these paper bags because they don't want to be identified that they're at the game. Was that you?
No, but what about someone who truthfully wants to testify because they're really ethical?
So what's
someone
done?
Someone else may come along and dispute this.
You run that. You run that risk. I hear.
That's a pretty big risk.
Okay, but Bet Din has their way of checking things out also.
Yeah.
You know, they have they examined the two witnesses who claimed that they were in Cleveland. They examined them independently. Okay, what happened on third down? So this guy said, well, he threw for a first down. No, he didn't. He was sacked for a loss. You guys are fabricating the story.
Would they ask for the ticket stubs to show that you...
Yes, they might do that, sure. 100%. Give me some proof that you were there. What?
They wouldn't just automatically...
No. So let's get to the case which is the relevant one.
What's the word zooming? What does that word mean?
Means lying. It means lying. It means liars. That's what it really means. It's zomam means to have fabricated. Fabricated is the Adim who fabricate a story.
What's the expression? They get the punishment.
Kasher zomam. Va'asot le'achiv. You do unto them what they planned on doing to somebody else. Yes. So now here's the case. Two witnesses come to Beit Din and say, I saw you take a bottle of wine and pour it l'avodah zarah. So what are they testifying about?
It's not a civil case.
It's not a civil case. What are they trying to do with your wine? Make it what? Yayin esech.
But it also
it was war. What?
It's also making that person.
Okay, but that's not the issue with this case.
It's a part
of that thing. That's correct. Yeah. No, it's not. Right now, it's just what happens to this wine? Are you allowed to drink it or not? That's the question which we're going to deliberate. Two witnesses come and say, I know this wine was poured l'avodah zarah. Beis Din will ask him, when did you see this happen? And they will say, this past Sunday, I saw it in your house. Pearl, I saw it in your house. Two other witnesses come to Beis Din and say, it's not me, two other witnesses come to Beis Din and say, oh, how can you testify that you saw somebody pouring wine l'avodah zarah? You were where? In Cleveland. Does the halacha of Adim Zomin apply to something which is asur or mutter? That's the only question. Are you allowed to drink the wine or not? So the Ktzais, who is a major commentary on Choshen Mishpat, says it does. So how does he see questions about Isur and Heter? What are they defined as? What is the information coming to us about something, whether it's permissible or not, defined as? Edut, testimony. If it's testimony, you can have Edim Zomimin. Says his counterpart, the Nesivos, who argues with the Ktzais all the time, he says, that's not true. Because when you're dealing with a question of what? Of what? Of whether Isur and Heter, that's not Edus. Edim Zomimin is a halacha in Edus, where you offer testimony. This is not testimony. This is telling us, for one reason or another, you see this bottle of wine, vintage bottle from the year 1200, you're not allowed to drink it because somebody poured it by avodah zarah. That's Isur and Heter. I'm not talking about the financial loss that might come about because you don't have to spill it out. That's a different issue entirely. You may not have to pay a penny for doing that. You know why? Because it's called Hezek She'eno Nikar. Can you recognize that this bottle of wine has been poured l'avodah zarah? How do you recognize the damage? It's the same wine. I'll say, here's the wine, take it back. But you can't use it. So you may not have to pay anything. So the only issue about this statement is whether you're allowed to drink it or you're not allowed to drink it. Says the Nesivos, that's not testimony of a court in law. That's ne'emanut. And by ne'emanut, there is no such thing as edim zomimin when it comes to ne'emanut questions.
Well, what if someone says that someone's been all Shabbos and they're liable to be stoned or whatever?
That's not an ne'emanut question. That's a capital offense case. Now the witnesses will be asked, where was he Michal Shabbos? So you'll say, because there is a consequence of capital punishment. That's what you want to do. You don't want to just disqualify him to offer testimony.
This is capital punishment if someone's
publicly. No, but they are not. What?
This
But that's not what I'm testifying about. I'm saying I know this bottle of wine was, I don't know who did it, but I saw somebody, a Jew.
Or non-Jew.
Right, or not, exactly. Yes.
I'm saying I testified.
I'm telling you, the bottle of wine is usur. How do I know? Because I saw it. Being good. So that is a case, in case somebody stops you pick a store. Where do you go? That's the old timers. Yeah? What? Cedar Market. Somebody started. Can you give me an example of where it might make a difference? Here you have a case that illustrates it. Whether or not the principle of Hazama, of Edim Zomimin, will apply to a case where the testimony is concerning a bottle of wine. A piece of meat. Piece of meat. Okay, let me get invited. Let's try to finish the Mishnah today, see a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and then try to see 2-3 lines of the...
Wait, what's the answer to that? Isn't it?
It's a Machlokes. So according to the Ketzot, he says the concept of Zomimin applies even to this bottle of wine. Therefore, he must rule that statements concerning whether something is permissible or prohibited have a halacha of Eidut. If it's a halacha of Eidut, you can't testify because women are disqualified to testify. According to the Nesivos, he says this is not the concept of Edom Zomen is limited to testimony in court, not whether you're allowed to drink a bottle of wine or not.
But we go by that it
does.
Say someone's a kosher butcher and someone sees them bringing in non kosher meat or something like that.
Okay, so they.
Similar story.
Yeah, they have forfeited their trustworthiness. That's correct. Of course. Of course. We've had. Butchers, you know, people have done that, unfortunately, have violated our trust in them. And when an RCBC establishment offers a hashgacha, even though in a meat place, for example, where they'll insist on, you know, pretty much hashgachat midit, so the first criteria which the committee, I'm not on the kashrut committee, I don't have time for that, that it looks to establish is, can the proprietor be trusted? Because you can have 60,000 mashgichim. The proprietor can always get around it. So if he's not trustworthy, we never give an hashgacha to him. Never. Never. And we've been burnt sometimes. Sometimes it looked like he was trustworthy, and then we've been burnt. There have been times. So, and even he claims to be a Shomer Shabbos and everything, but... There's trust and there's halachic trust. Halachic trust, yes. But in reality, he's not a trustworthy fellow. He looks to... And you can take away the keys from him. There are certain times when we don't allow the owner to have the keys to the refrigerator. We don't allow him in. Only the mashgiach opens up the refrigerator. And then that's not a good situation.
That's not a lot of trust.
I understand. So we did that as a bidyevet.
Right.
Normally we don't do. We can't trust you. Forget about it. Says the Mishnah. We said the Mishnah. Hakol shochtin u'shchitasan k'shera. Everybody is allowed to shecht, and the shchita is acceptable. Chutz mecheresh shote v'katan shema. Yikalkilu. What does that mean? Perhaps they will mess it up. Okay? They will mess it up. Good. This very phrase is now subject to enormous debate. Please go to page number 2 for a minute, which is the Gemara commenting on this. 12 blot later. Takes the Gemara 12 blot to get... to explain the first phrase of the Mishnah, Hakol Shechtin Shchitas Am Sheira. The next one, Chutz Chesham Nekakol, is Am Daf Yud Beis Amit Beis. So there's a lot of material, and some of the material in between we're going to cover. Says the Gemara, bracketed on page number 2. Chutz Mecheres Shaita V'Katan, Shema Yikal Kelu Et Shchitatan. Says the Gemara, Shema Kilkilu Lo Katani. It doesn't say, why should I not give my 7-year-old grandson a knife to shech the behemah? Because he did mess it up. I can assure you he messed up the Shechita. But it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. What does it say?
He will mess it up.
Shema kilkilu lo tani. Ela shema yikalkilu. Why didn't the Mishnah say shema kilkilu? Because perhaps what did he already do when he shechted?
He messed it up.
Yikalkilu means that what? It looks like sometime in the future, next time, what's going to happen? He might mess it up.
Meaning you don't trust him, which is the name of
the yes. Amar Rava, says Rava, I'll tell you why, you're right, the Mishnah is precise. Zot Omeret, this comes to teach us, Ein Mosrin Lohen Chulin Lichatchila. Lichatchila. What does that mean, Lichatchila? Initially, my grandson comes over to me and says, Saba, can I shech this animal? I should not give him the chalaf, the knife. But if he went ahead and didn't ask me, and took the knife and shechted it, and now I check, it seems to be the cut is done, right? Seems to be okay. Now that's a very big chiddush of the Gemara. Yeah. Extremely big chiddush. Why is it a big chiddush? Tell me why you think it's a big chiddush. That b'di'evet, if it was done, tell me why.
He's not qualified as a
shechter. Okay, so what are you gonna? How are you going to know that, whether he's qualified or not?
You can't prove it. He has to do it. He has to do it.
So he did it. Now tell me why this is a fantastic chiddush.
Because before he did it, I didn't establish that he was reliable.
Good. His word is worthless. He's a minor.
Right.
Minor's testimony is never accepted.
Right. At the time. That
yet. So why do we? So what's going to? How are you going to determine whether he knows what he did?
You do it. You check it.
How are you going to check? I'm asking you that question. Good. So what do you now have? What do you? So
you can only ask him. What else can you do?
So what do you have to ask him? You have to start asking him certain halachot.
Right.
Does he know? Was the knife smooth? Did you sharpen the knife? Did you delay?
He's still happy about the hesitation.
Well, okay. So that's just it. If he doesn't aware, if he's now here comes my point. If he's not aware that there is a such, I told you about this one, shehiyah. Then even if he's a 35-year-old person, his shechita you can't eat. Why can't you eat it, b'di'evet? Why? Because we don't. He doesn't know the first thing about hulcha shechita.
It just turned out that it was cut.
But that doesn't mean that it was kosher. Doesn't mean you're allowed to eat it. Could still be nevela.
Right.
Even though it looks like a perfectly clean cut, still could be nevela. If he delayed for more than 2 seconds during the incision, it's nevela.
Right.
So halacha l'maaseh misina. So if the kid is what? Around, there is no difference between a 7-year-old kid and a 35-year-old adult. If they're around, there's only one opportunity. Check him out. And there are no distinctions between an adult and what? And a katan. So what must be the case, Rabotai? B'di'evet? What's the case, b'di'evet?
So it's not testimony.
What's the case talking about, Rabotai?
If he's not around.
Correct. Kid's not around to ask him any questions. Now the only thing that I can do is look at what? Look at the cut. Seems clean. L'chatchila, I can never give a kid, a knife, the chef, unless I check him out in advance.
But after?
But if he already shechted and he is not available any longer to what?
To the question.
That's the difference between an adult and a child. An adult, when I say, would you like to shecht it? What do we expect the adult to respond?
I don't know how.
I'm not chef. And if he does go ahead and chef, what assumption? We quoted that halacha. Rove Mitsuyin Eitzah Shechita Mumchenein. Most people who go approach an animal and start shechting, they're experts. Because if you're not, you're probably going to say, I'm not doing this. Kitties don't operate that way. They like the excitement. To take a knife and kill an animal. They like that. So they can't be trusted. So Rava believes that this halacha is being communicated to us by the fact that the Mishnah did not say Shema Kilkilu. Because if we have to worry that they messed it up, then not only Lichachila could they not shech, but even B'dieved it would be possible. Maybe they messed it up. But the Mishnah only says Shema Yikalkilu. Next time. In the future. So therefore, Lichachila, don't give them the knife, because they might mess it up. But if they did it already and they're not here, even for a katan, you're allowed to eat the shechita. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to eat the meat. Yes?
Why would we assume that the Zeyeved, he has the strength that we are worried that a woman doesn't have?
Well, who said anything about strength?
I'm bringing it up because...
We never disqualified a woman because of strength.
Didn't we say that that's the reason why she might hesitate or faint? Or
no, something? Faint! You faint. Boys don't faint. Little boys don't faint. I'm not convinced of what I'm saying either. I'm just telling you what the mother said. We're not concerned about a boy, a 7-year-old boy fainting. There is no concern. He's a tough guy.
Why do we care about his status at the time that he chefs? At the time that a katan chefs, his status is, right now I don't know anything else, I just know he's a katan chef, his status is he's not really supposed to be chefed. Then I establish afterwards that I'm going to eat it because it looks good,
yeah.
And I asked him questions.
Absolutely.
But at the time that he did it, he wasn't really a kosher shofet.
Who said he's not a kosher shofet?
Because he has established himself.
Who? Neither has this adult who I never saw before. He's never established himself.
No, we just said before, we trust the adult to say, okay. I can do this, and to say, I can't
okay.
do this.
That's correct. So that's why lichatchila he can't shech.
Why did he ever do we accept it?
It's like the order is weird that we're saying.
The before Rava piped up, what do you think the Gemara would have been more comfortable with? Had the Mishnah written what?
It kept telling
never shecht. Shema kilkel. Because anytime he shecht, there's always a possibility that what? He messed it up. That would have been a lot smoother. Yeah. But he's analyzing, the Gemara is concerned that the Mishnah didn't use that simple expression.
But the Gemara is agreeing with the Mishnah at the end.
Who?
The Gemara is going to agree with the Mishnah at the end?
No, the Mishnah can be interpreted in any way you want. The Gemara is now interpreting that the Mishnah's elimination, which it says, Chutz mecheresh shotev katan, that's only lechatchila, not b'dieved. B'dieved, cheresh shotev katan is fine.
The Gemara says you can eat it.
That's what it says right here, we just read it. Yes?
B'dieved, even if the boy's not around to
only if he's not around. Right. If he's around, now I do it the Bechina.
Okay, if he's around.
Oh, he knows Hilcha Shechita better than any Sheikhet. He knows every Taz and Shach, everything. He knows every Ramah and Yeridea.
We interrogate
him the same
way we would.
What?
If the boy's around, we interrogate him the same way we would.
With like
him.
We would do an adult.
But if he's not around, we're trusting
him. We're going to trust him.
Okay.
That's correct. Yes.
Looking at Shenya Kalkalu in that way, sort of say, Ne'amanut has two factors. And one of them is, you might say, mastery, but the other one is a certain mindset. And that changes the whole. Then it's not automatic if you're showing it, like you were saying it, when you're giving Shechita. There are people who are trustworthy technically, and then there's who's trustworthy at a like character level. So he's saying the boy, because he's not mature, no matter what he knows, he lacks
I grant you that, but that is not going to disqualify his shechita because he's not mature in your mind. It's not.
It will
lechatchila. Lechatchila, yes.
Right.
So but it's not because of lack of maturity. The concern is he might mess it up.
Well, that's because of a lack of maturity. He doesn't have the skill. He doesn't.
Okay, but that can happen to an adult too.
He doesn't know that. No, but a child doesn't know what he doesn't know.
whereas hopefully most adults kind of know what they want.
Yeah, okay. I hear what you're saying.
You wouldn't even let her.
I hear what you're saying. Even though I had this great uncle in Kiryat Sanz. He was the mayor of Kiryat Sanz, the right-hand man of the Klausenberger Rebbe. So when I was in Karen Biavna, he was a pretty well-off guy. I used to go visit him every time he came. He gave me 50 shekel for spending my hog, Valdik. So every time he'd come, he'd give me the same song and dance. Busiest. So he'd call over this little kid, under bar mitzvah, 10 years old, 11 years old, Zeishtem Gingel? Erken Zeks Hindrit Blat Gemura Balpei. He knows 600 Blat Gemara by heart. This 10-year-old. Bis jetzt tam gemeint, as no the Litvaks kennen lernen. Yet zeber as the Hasidim kennen lernen besser with the Litvaks. So there was a 10-year-old who my great uncle thought he knew 600 Blat Gemara, like a whole man. 600 Blat Gemara by heart. Yeah. Good. Now take a look at Rashi, and then we'll see how Tosfos disagrees. I bracketed the Rashi. Rashi adds something. Shema kilkilu lo katani. The Gemara, the Mishnah, did not use the expression Shema kilkilu. Ve'afal gav debidievet komairi. Even though the case of the Mishnah describing a katan is talking about bidieved, how do I know that the Mishnah is talking about bidieved? Because not lechatchila. Because what does the word chutz mecheres shayte v'katan follow? Which words in the Mishnah does it follow? Look back at the Mishnah. No, it doesn't follow hakol shochtin. It says ushchitatan kishera. So the Gemara, the next part of tonight's shir, or perhaps the one after that, we will focus on, obviously, if you let everybody shecht hakol shochatin, obviously shchitatan is kshera. Because if the shchita would not be kosher, why would I allow them to shecht? So the Gemara is going to say that the first part of the Mishnah, hakol shochatin, refers to a category of people who are allowed to shecht even lechatchila. But there is another category of people who cannot shecht lechatchila, but bidieved shchitas ankshela. Now, every person is shchitas kshera, with the exception of chereshet v'kata. Anybody picking up what Tosfos is going to ask? I'll read it again. Let me just go through the Rashi. Shema kilkilu lo katani. Ve'af agav debidievet kamayri. Even though there is no doubt that the Mishnah's mention of a 7-year-old is talking about bidievet, how do I know? Kida katani. Because it says in the Mishnah, ushchi tatan ksheira. And the Gemara on Daf Bet Amud Bet, as I said, I hope to see it tonight, will say that particular phrase refers to a category of people who can only shecht bidieved. But they are not included in the opening two words of the Mishnah, which say, hakol shochtin, you can give it to them lechatchila. And on that, the Mishnah comments, not everybody is even acceptable bidieved. Who is not acceptable b'di'eved? A cheresh shayte v'kata. Chutz mecheresh shayte v'kata. But it doesn't say that in the Mishnah, Shema kilkilu. Elo Shema yikalkilu. Mashma demu adim heim lekalker. They are probably, what they're going to do, probably. What are they probably going to do? They're going to mess it up. Says Rava, I'm reading the next Rashi. Zot omeret, a mosrin lahem chul lechatchila. Kilomar, afilu chulin. certainly not touching a korban, but even ordinary meat to slaughter, an ordinary animal. Va'afilu acherim omdin al gaban.
Even if they're being watched.
Even if they're being supervised by an adult, lichatchila, you can't give a kid a knife to shech the bang, or a chicken. That's how Rashi learns this mission. That's how Rashi learns this mission. So now when you reread the Mishnah, you have to stop and say the following. Hakol Shaykhtin refers to categories of people in the Chachim. Shchitosan B'Sheira refers to a second category, and what that category is will be five different opinions in the Gemara between Beis and Gimel and Amid. Five different opinions. We're going to learn every one of them. Then there is one category of people, Shechar Shaykh V'Katan, who cannot shech even B'Diyeh. But had that been the end of the Mishnah, the rule would have been that b'di'evet eshchit is no good. The problem is the Mishnah added what? Two more words. Shema yikalkilu. And because the Mishnah added those two words, I cannot sustain the conclusion that I just formulated 2 seconds ago. What did I just say is 2 seconds ago? You cannot have everybody chef b'di'evet. You can have everybody b'di'evet, but not chereshet v'kata. What do you mean? So then why does Rava say that it's okay? Because he's trying to explain. Why did the Mishnah have to say Shema Yikalkil? Either should have said nothing, or should have said Shema Kilkil.
But you just said before, we said that it depended on whether the boy was there or not, if we could ask him the question.
That's the, no doubt.
But now he's supervised, so he's obviously good. Someone's there.
But look, says Rashi, that's going to be subject to a debate. Not everybody is. Did the Gemara say that there was somebody standing there?
No.
That's the difficulty with Rashi. If there is somebody standing by, supervising, why can't he shech l'chatchila? The person watching will be able to tell you everything. Did he delay? Did he do this? Did he do that? He'll watch him. And if he's seeing he's about to do something, he'll tell him, hey buddy, don't do this. Every other is going to argue with Rashi. Vosot gespart Rashi. What forced Rashi to say that the case is talking about afilu acherim omdin al gaban? Very difficult. Good. I'm glad you noticed that. Now turn back to page number one. Tosfos is going to quote this Rashi and argue with him like he always does. Shema yikalkilu. Bigimara, in the Gemara, lekaman yudbet amudbet, we just read it 2 seconds ago, diek, the Gemara infers, midekatani shema yikalkilu, velo katani shema kilkilu, shmamina, I derive from here, ein mosrin lohen chulin lechatzim. I just cannot give my 7-year-old grandson a knife to chef lichati. You can't be on the assembly line in Empire Chickens. You can't do that. Upiresh hakutris, and Rashi explained, afilu acherim ro'inotan. Even if what? Even if there is a supervisor. What?
Doesn't Rashi say, because that's how it's phrased in the Mishnah?
But it does, in the Mishnah, that's the next phrase. Rashi wasn't, the Gemara on Yud Bet on the Bet was not dealing with the next phrase. That's what Tosfos is going to ask him. Hey Rashi, you ignored the next phrase of the Gemara. That's Tosfos' question. The next word of the Mishnah. V'kasha l'pirusha. I find Rashi's addition, stipulation, that even if what? There is an adult standing there, I find that terribly difficult. Why? The ha misefa shaminon lei. from the end of the Mishnah, I have a clearly stated Mishnah. What's the last phrase of the Mishnah? What's the last phrase? V'kulam shishachatu, any Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam, who shef, v'acherin ro'in otan, and somebody else is supervising the shechita, shechita tan k'sheira. B'di'evet, they're what? The shechita is kosher. Well, it's b'di'evet. Because it says shechita san k'sheira. That expression means b'di'evet. So, do I know that a katan can only shech with acherim roen oto b'di'evet? Do I know from where do I learn that out from? Where do I learn that out? According to the Mishnah, from the last phrase.
It's written straight out.
So the first phrase, which the Gemara on Yud Bet and we are focusing on tonight, cannot be repeating the same phrase that appears at the end of the Mishnah. That would be ludicrous. Ludicrous. Therefore, Tosis is going to disagree with Rashi. Let's read it again. Line 5. V'kasha l'pirusha. Rashi's addition that there was an adult supervising the minor is very, very difficult. Why? Dahami seifa shaminana. Because of the last line, seifa the sof. The end of the Mishnah, we already know that halacha. What does the end of the Mishnah say? V'kula shishachatu v'acherim roinotan shchitatan k'sheira. The mashma, which implies the eved dafka. When do we allow everybody, meaning a chereshot of a katan, to slaughter bidi eved? Only with somebody there. So he goes to various other possibilities. I want to skip it because it's not relevant. It goes on a little wild goose chase. Go to the first wide lines of the Tosfos to see how Tosfos interprets the phrase. V'Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish. Third word of the first wide line of this Tosfos. V'Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish. De'ein mosrin lohen chulin lichatchilo lishchot afilu kidei lahashlich l'klovin. Wow.
It's got a status less than a non-Jew.
Yeah. I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't talk about giving a Gentile a knife to cut because you want to feed your dogs. Now, you can't feed your dog live meat. Avram and Achai is us. And it's cruel. So you have to shech the animal. You have to kill the animal. Now, if you wanted to feed it to your dog, you didn't have to make sure that it was a kosher shechita.
Nevela or...
You did not. You're allowed to feed a nevela to a dog. It says la'kelav tashlichu notot. It's black and white in the pasuk. You're allowed to. So, but a minor lichatchila, I cannot give him the knife to shech, even if I have no intention of eating the meat. Fluffy is going to eat the meat. Fluffy is going to eat the meat. Don't look at Tosfos. You tell me why.
So we're in bad hands.
Right.
That's not what Tosfos is going to say.
Well, it's just dangerous. The boy checks, the meat's there. Before you get a chance to feed it to your dog, you know, your wife wanders by and she eats it.
Oh! That's what Tosfos is going to say. Somebody else will say, this must have been a, looks like a perfect shechita. Wow. Must be kosher meat. And that person will eat it. So what biblical prohibition... That's exactly...
What?
Lifnei iver lo titein lachshov. Don't place a halachic stumbling block in front of somebody. Do not cause somebody to think that this activity is permissible.
Especially if he's 12 and you walk by and you think, oh, being sounds like a chef, he's probably very mitzvah.
Yes, yes. But even a six-year-old. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Dilma osi lemechal... Sheyitu lahachshir shchitatan mitoch sheyiru shemosrin lahem, because they will not know that you made a stipulation that who's going to be eating the meat, the dog. Next time, they'll want an animal shechted. There's no other shechted around. And who are they going to call? This experienced veteran 7-year-old fisher. Oh, he shechted last week, you can shecht today. And they won't know that l'chatchila, you're not allowed to give it to him. Therefore, Rabbi Tam says, this Mishnah has nothing about Acherim Roan Oto, nothing to do about. That was Rashi, and he's wrong. The chidush of the Mishnah is that even if no one is planning on consuming this meat, no one who is prohibited from consuming this meat will consume the meat, nonetheless, you are not permitted to ask the child to shecht l'chatchila. Based on the misinformation that might be created as a result of people witnessing that he is shechting this behemoth. And that's an extension of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol. Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol. Even though, I must say, it's somewhat an extension. Who normally is the Iver which the Torah talks about? The person who's going to do the Aveira. I am not permitted to bring a bottle of wine to a Nazir as a lunch gift. Because I'm afraid he's going to drink it, and a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. But it's the Nazir who's doing the Aveira. The kid is not going to eat it. It's somebody else who will eat it. That's a little unusual. That's a little unusual. That here, the Lifnei Iver, I can't do A, not because it's just somebody else is going to make, even though there are parallels for that as well. There are parallels. There are some parallels. But that's how Rabbeinu Tam explains our Mishnah, nothing to do with God Eloimid Al Gabav.
It sounds like a
Mar Sinai. Yeah, it is Mar Sinai. But Mar Sinai is related to what? Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol. Yes.
You've talked. No, I'm saying because you've talked about that it's not exactly what people think it is. It's really
right. Exactly. Good. Let's move on for just a minute to page number 3. This is going to be the explanation now to the first 4 words of the Mishnah. Hakol Shochatin, the Gemara assumes, establishes based on comparison to other sources, not learning those other sources, but the word Hakol, and followed by a verb, always means L'chatchila. Unless proven otherwise. Unless proven otherwise. But the assumption is, it means l'chatchila. The words ushchitatan kshera is only b'di'evet. So the Gemara asks the question. I didn't read the question inside, I'm only going to read the answers. Why? Who does it refer to? The Mishnah must have category A in mind for its opening phrase, everybody's allowed a shech. And then exclude some and say that the shechit is only b'di'evet. Who might that category of people be for one reason or another that l'chat they're not included in the phrase hakol shochtin? Who's not included in hakol shochtin? You can't say katan because the Mishnah already says chereshet v'katan and v'acherim rosos. It's okay. The Mishnah talks about them. It's got to be somebody else. So let's take a look at one, the first of the 5 answers. I bracketed the relevant lines for you. Amar Rabba Barula, Hachi Katani. Here is the way it should be understood. Hakol Shochatin, Va'afilu Tamei Bichulin. Tamei Bichulin. Mazet Tamei, what is Chulin? It's called Maseches Chulin. Non-Hegdish, not Kodshim. So it means slaughtering for what person? For what purpose? For you and me to eat. To have a piece of steak, to have a hamburger, to have a piece of chicken. And the shochet is tame. Asks the Gemara, who cares? Does it make any difference today if you're not talking about kudshim, whether you're tame or not? Who cares? So he'll touch the meat, then he'll make it tame. So what? It's chulin. Only thing that you're not allowed to be mitame is kudshim. So the Gemara asks right away, tame bechulin? Maila memra. What chidush is there? What chidush is there? Maila memra. Why do I need a Mishnah to say that's what it includes?
Does a Kohen who is allowed to eat kudshim, does he also not eat chulin as well?
No, he can.
So then maybe
he doesn't have much access to it.
Right. So maybe that's the category.
He's allowed to eat.
Maybe if he eats something that's tummy, does that make him tummy?
No, not necessarily. And if it does, who cares? He's allowed to be mitame to an avela. He's only not allowed to be mitame lemeis. Except if you're Mr. Yecheskel. Yecheskel, in chapter 44 of Yecheskel, it's the Haftarah of Parshas Emor, writes that a Kohen is not permitted to be mitame to an avela. An animal that dies through non-kosher shechita, not only is it not edible, but it's mitame you as well. If you pick it up, you touch it or you pick it up. Yecheskel wrote, "They're not allowed to be mitame." Everybody says, "Where did he get that from?" That's not my discussion. But the Gemara asks, "Tame bechulin, myla memra." I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that a tame person is allowed to shecht what chulin. Answers the Gemara introduces a category, an important one. Bechulin shina'asu al taharat hakodesh. It's talking about a person who has made a pledge to treat all of his chulin as if it would be kadosh. Why does he do that? Because he believes sheibane beit hamikdash b'meirah v'yamein. Beis HaMikdash is going to be tomorrow morning. And I'm going to bring a korban tomorrow. And if I bring a korban, what do I have to make sure? That I'm tahar. So therefore, this particular person always handles all of his foodstuffs that theoretically could become tamei. He treats them with the same regulations as if they had been for fruits and grains. True, he treats them tamei and tar because he wants to make sure that if he has truma, he's not mitamei it. You're not allowed to be mitamei truma. So if I separate a tithe and I'm going to give it to a kohen, if I am tamei, I'm not allowed to touch that fruit because a kohen is not allowed to eat truma tamei. He can only burn it and derive benefit from the fire. To heat his house, but he's not allowed to eat it. So I cause a financial loss to the Kohen by touching fruits that have been designated as truma. So this person has made a pledge upon himself that I will treat all of my edibles, which in theory can become tamei, as if they are kachim for the practice. He might, but as I said, he can do it today. There's no use, no Beis HaMikdash. He believes Sheibana Beis HaMikdash. So he's doing it today. It's more likely that it would be done while the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and he wants to practice so that when he goes to the Mikdash for Aliyah Lareg, that's more likely. But it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
Listen, you guys have to take this upon himself. It's very nice for him. But why then should the entire nation, why should this law be that is shochet?
It's not. All we say is that he should not shecht l'chatchila. Why should he not shecht l'chatchila?
Well, right.
Because what are we afraid of?
Yeah, but we're afraid that this tiny minority is accidentally going to eat it. But shouldn't this tiny minority that's taking this on themselves, shouldn't they eat it?
We don't care if they eat it. You're allowed to eat it. There's no iser to eat it. But if you're dealing with a person who is what? Looking to establish an element of kedusha, and we'll try to frame it next time in more halachic categories. So the halacha says, you know what? We're going to try to help you along. We're going to try to protect you and make sure that what? That you are not going to violate your own commitment. How will we protect you? By making sure you don't violate your own commitment. How? By telling you, lichatchila, you can't shecht that animal. Lichatchila, you can't. Because what are we afraid of? As he shechts, what's he going to do? He's going to touch the animal, touch the meat, and it'll become tameh. And he made a pledge not to do so. Ukasavar, and we believe, chulin shina'asu al taharat hakodesh, kehegdesh dami, kekodesh dami. If you make a pledge to treat it like hegdesh, we treat it like hegdesh. So how does he shecht even b'di'eved?
The person who made the pledge is the person who shecht.
Yes. Of course. Yes. Okay, yeah, it's the person who's shechting is the one who made this pledge. So we tell him, stay away from the animal. So under what circumstances do we allow him to shecht b'di'eved? Says the Gemara, Ketzad huose, mevi sakin aruka v'shochet ba, make sure he has a super long knife so he can stay a mile away from the animal and shecht it and he won't touch the meat. I know. Kadesh lo yigah babasar. Oh, listen to this. Ubimukdashin, by a real korban, lo yishchot, he should not shecht at all. Shema yigah babasar. Because by by kachim, if he is mitameit, what does he do to the whole animal? It negates it. It's got to be burnt, and you got to bring another one to fulfill your obligation. However, v'im shochat v'omer baroli shelo nogati, if he shechts even a korban and he swears, I am 1,000% certain that I didn't touch the animal, the meat, shchita sakshera b'di'eved. Then his shchita is kasher b'di'eved.
So
he has ne'emanut. That is correct. Why not? Now, Tosfos will deal with the issue. I'm not going to read it inside, just to alert you to the fun of the discussion. If we're dealing with a korban, you know how far he has to be away from that animal? About 440 feet. Because the closest a regular Yisrael can go to where a korban is shechted is only a sitch, which is kuf chaf bet amah, 122 amot, which is about 240 feet, something like that, 244 feet. How did he get such a long knife? 240 foot.
And a
knife. Right. Tosfos deals with that. That's ridiculous. When you're dealing with chulin, and you have to be a half a foot away, okay, I can understand the Gemara's answer, you got a long knife. But when you're dealing with kachim, says Tosfos, yeah, that's what he had. They don't care about reality. They're only thinking about theoretical principles.
Education.
So, what?
And the particular of the
halakha
of shechita with this long knife, even if it's not 400 feet.
Right? Yeah.
And presumably it could be done.
Yeah. Taisa said, the Gemara seems to assume okay. Yeah. Now, all of this is to explain why hakol shochtin and a shechitatan kshera. Hakol shecht, everybody can shecht, but not everybody can shecht l'chatchila. Tamei bechulin cannot shecht l'chatchila. B'di'evet, if he does shecht, then it's okay. That's the first of five explanations what these four words in the Mishnah mean. And then the Gemara is going to discuss it, spend a lot of time about this particular case. About this particular case. But I don't want to get off on the tangent, but there are two Tosafot that I want to learn next time we meet, particularly about the parameters of being mitamei chala, when you bake, when you are mafresh, about if you were engaged in this particular activity of chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh, at what stage could you not touch the chala when you're baking chala? At what stage can you not touch it when you're being mafresh trumas and maisres? And at what stage can you not touch an animal to be mitame the meat? We'll see. Tosis will discuss it, especially Tosis talks about peirot and chala. And then we'll see what the whole idea is, might be based on a drash of a pasuk that the Gemara in the 8th parak of Masechet Brachot happens to establish. We'll stop here, Rabbi Tai. There will be no shir next week. No shir.